series on the sermon. Last week we heard the Beatitudes, if you all recall, those of you who were here. And in the Beatitudes we learned who we are. Not simply individuals who experience individual random blessings, or individuals who strive to behave the way the Beatitudes tell us to, so that we can experience individual random blessings. Last week we learned that we are a community. We are a community of disciples declared blessed and called to be shaped by God's values of poverty of spirit, not self-righteousness, meekness, not arrogance, mercy, not cruelty or retribution, and a hunger for righteousness, not success or personal fulfillment. Today, Jesus tells us what our purpose is. And I'm reading to you this morning from Matthew chapter 5. Last week we heard chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. This week we begin at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see the good things you do and offer praise to God. Don't even begin to think that I have come to do away with the law and the prophets. I haven't come to do away with them, but to fulfill them. I say to you very seriously that as long as heaven and earth exist, neither the smallest letter nor even the smallest stroke of a pen will be erased from the law until everything there becomes a reality. Therefore, whoever ignores one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called the lowest in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps these commands and teaches people to keep them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I say to you that unless your righteousness is greater than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. We are salt. And we are light. That was all the plural form of you that Jesus was speaking. We are salt and we are light. Now think about it. By their very nature, salt and light do something. Once poured out of a container, once switched on, salt and light impact their surroundings. They can't not induce change. If it stays in the container, salt is useless. If it remains turned off, a light is inconsequential. To truly live as this blessed community that the Beatitudes declare us to be, we can't not impact Being salt and being light means that we cannot retreat into a private spirituality or some personal religion that we don't like to talk about too much. Being salt and being light, we will impact our surroundings. Today, I want to tell you about Fannie Lou Hamer. Hamer was born in 1917. She was the child of sharecroppers in rural Mississippi. Being a sharecropper was basically just another name for being a slave. She began picking cotton with her family when she was 6 years old, and she attended school during the months that the state of Mississippi allowed black children to attend school, which were the months between planting and harvesting, December through January. She had to drop out after 6 years or so that she could help support her family. Ultimately, Fannie Lou married a sharecropper, and they had two adopted children. One of them was left on her doorstep by a single mother who did not have the resources to care for her daughter. Her other child had been severely burned as an infant, and her parents couldn't afford the care that she needed. So Fannie Lou and her husband, Pap, took her in as well. In 1961, when Fannie Lou Hamer was 44, she went into the hospital and had surgery for a uterine tumor. And she was also given a hysterectomy without her consent by a white doctor. This happened often in Mississippi and a lot of other southern states because compulsory sterilization like this was the state's plan to reduce the number of poor blacks in the state. It also happened a lot to poor whites in the state as well. In 1962, Hamer went to a meeting at Williams Chapel Missionary Baptist Church in her hometown of Ruleville. There were folks there from the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which is an organization that Martin Luther King and a few other ministers had started up, and leaders from a group called SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And they were there in Mississippi, in Ruleville, to talk to the black folks who came about their rights as citizens of the state of Mississippi and citizens in the United States. And it was at this meeting that Fannie Lou Hamer first even heard that black folks could have the right to vote. And it was at this meeting that she volunteered to join a group to go register to vote in the city of Indianola. You all are probably familiar with the fact that southern states threw up all kinds of obstacles for African American folks trying to register to vote. Violence, of course, but not just violence. So it goes without saying that this first attempt for Hamer and the other group she was with to register was unsuccessful. On the way home, the bus that this group was traveling over on was pulled over by some white police officers and ordered to return to Indianola. And during this anxious time of waiting, Mrs. Hamer earned her reputation as one of the song leaders of the movement. She led the group in singing songs like "Just a Little Talk with Jesus," "Freedom's Coming," and her signature song, "This Little Light of Mine." Once she got back to the plantation where she worked, she was fired by the owner, because if you made an attempt to register to vote, it was required that all folks who even attempted to register, their names should be printed in the newspaper for 2 weeks afterwards. This was one of those obstacles to intimidate black folks, because things like this would happen. You'd get fired from your job on the plantation. Between this and then also being threatened, like having gunshots at her house, being threatened by violence, Fannie Lou Hamer left the county and went to go stay with her niece for 2.5 months. And during these months, she had a sort of conversion experience. Now, we're used to thinking about this as being something that you convert from not being a Christian to becoming a Christian. Well, Fannie Lou was born and raised a Christian. You can also have a conversion experience that makes you stop and turn around and realize there's a different path you need to be on. And this is what Fannie Lou had. She realized that she could no longer run, but had to return and fight. And her opportunity came when a representative from SNCC came to her niece's home looking for the lady who sang the hymns on the bus. So she went with him to Nashville to get more training by SNCC and returned to Ruleville. She said, "I was coming. I didn't know why I was coming, but I was sick of running, and I hadn't done nothing." This was a salt and light moment in the life of Fannie Lou Hamer. She'd always been someone that we would say was salt of the earth. She'd always been someone who let her light shine for her family and neighbors. But this moment was different. This was a moment when she was no longer going to be a single grain of salt or a single watt of light. This was a moment when the salt was really going to start getting shaken up and that light was going to get put on the hilltop. Hamer said, "I guess if I'd had any sense, I'd have been a little scared. But what was the point of being scared? The only thing they could do was kill me. And it kind of seemed like they'd been trying to do that a little bit at a time since ever I could remember." So, within just a few months, in the spring of 1963, she was arrested again for her activism and severely beaten, scarred for life, permanent kidney damage. And the 15-year-old girl who was with her at this point was also arrested and severely beaten. They used a thing called a blackjack. She taught citizenship courses and registered voters. These citizenship classes met in people's homes, and they taught folks how to fill out the registration form. They taught folks how to interpret paragraphs of the states of Mississippi's Constitution, because that was one of the things black folks had to do in order to get to register to vote. So they taught folks how to get around those obstacles that were going to get put up in front of them. She helped organize and lead the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. This was an interracial Democratic Party that was seeking representation over Mississippi's all-white Democratic Party at the 1964 Democratic National Convention. She had to give a speech before the Credentials Committee in order to try to get seated there. President Johnson was so intimidated by the possibility of her speaking that as she started speaking, he called up right away and ordered that the television be cut off so that it not be publicized on TV. That's the power her salt had. Later in the 1960s and through the 1970s, Fannie Lou Hamer organized a pig bank and the Freedom Farms Cooperative to address hunger and malnutrition, as well as land access and ownership for black Mississippians. I lift lift up Fannie Lou Hamer to us this morning as a salt and light example. I lift her up to us this morning as a model of fully living into our salty and illuminating purpose, of shaking the salt out of its container and setting the light on a hilltop. Sometimes we are salt in the wounds of our society, causing a sting so that people will wake up and pay attention. Like Fannie Lou Hamer did when she told her story of arrest and beating and intimidation at the Democratic National Convention and had the audacity to ask, "Is this America?" I see our Be the Church series as salty in this way, reminding us of the biblical call to call out and address the wounds of our world. Racism, poverty, immigration, climate crisis. These wounds are deep and need some salt. Sometimes we are like salt that gets dissolved in warm water that your mom used to give you to gargle to soothe your sore and scratchy throat, right? Mrs. Hamer was this kind of salt when she started that farm cooperative, seeking to soothe and remedy the wounds of systemic poverty. Our financial commitment to Growing Hope globally is this kind of salt, right? And so is Wide Open Table, right here. It provides comforting space and fellowship for folks who need it, who see each other once a month. They reserve their tables here and look forward to seeing each other, right? It provides a nourishing meal for folks who might not get one otherwise. That's salt. Sometimes we are light on a hilltop, shining on things that would otherwise prefer to remain hidden in dark places. Mrs. Hamer was this kind of light when she taught those citizenship classes and knocked on doors and registered voters. She was shining light on the oppression that was disenfranchising Black folks across the South. When we hosted the lecture recital on Black American sacred music here, our sanctuary was the space where light was shown on the ways that the artistic and cultural contributions of Black Americans was suppressed and sidelined. And the richness of that legacy was brought into the light. And we are sometimes like a porch light, left on for that teenager who's cutting it a little close to curfew, or left on for a weary traveler, telling them, "You are home. You are welcome here." Fannie Lou Hamer was a porch light for her desperate neighbors, providing home and welcome for their children. We are a porch light for the teens and the young adults that we support in the tutoring program that happens here. Every Monday night, we say, "You are home. You are welcome," to our neighbors' children who have fled violence, oppression, and poverty in their homelands. And most important of all, I lift up Fannie Lou Hamer today to remind us that being salt and light is not an individual effort. It is never a single grain of salt that gets dropped into the pot of soup we're making. And it is never, I can vouch for it, a single grain of salt that we put on our French fries at McDonald's. It is never only one single watt of light that shines from the light bulb in our lamp. I've never seen such a bulb. Fannie Lou Hamer joined her saltiness and shined her light with the people of SNCC. And together, they made tremendous impact on their environment. And these ministries of our congregation that I just named, and I know I didn't name them all, these are our salt and light to our community. These are the ways that we induce change and impact our environment. Not a one of them happens through a single grain of salt or a single watt of light. Jesus did not say, "Would you please be salt?" He did not say, "Try your best to be light." He said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world."